Okay, today's daf is daf nun aleph in Maseches Ksuvos. Yesterday we were discussing. Remember, this perek is all about the tnaim of the ksuba, the conditions that the husband makes of regarding his responsibilities and his privileges in the marriage. The last tonight that we were discussing on Amud Beis yesterday, which went over to Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, was the fact that his daughters, a man's daughters, get to eat, have mizonos after he dies. The question is that mizonos only from his karka, or is that mizonos also from metaltlin, also from the movable items in his properties? That was the discussion. Rav Hamnuna said only from karka, similar to Ksubas Bun and Dichrin. Well, a number of Amoraim might have, that's what the Gemara tries to figure out, might have held that it's even from a Tatlan. And the last story we had was Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, go take the dates that are on the budya, take the dates that have been picked already. So Abaye says, how could that be? You know, it's Batalatlan. So he said, I didn't really mean the ones that were picked already, I mean the ones that were about to be picked. So the Gemara then said, so that's as if they were picked. So the Gemara answered, the Srichel Adikla Ka'amina, that they still need the dekel tree, meaning they're not about to be picked. So just the Ritva has the Ha'ara, if they're not about to be picked, so then why is he calling them dates? Then it's pure karka. So it must be that they're about to be picked, but they still need the tree a little bit. It's somewhere in the middle. It's not a clear cut, kol ha'ome ligzos kagazos dami. We have in various contexts in halacha, for Hilchas Shabbos, for Hilchas Mekach u'Memkar, and here for Hilchas Tznai Ksuba, the discussion of Kol Ome Ligzos Kegazos Dami, Tosas on top brings it in, that does that machlokas have any effect here? Avagav de punktu amev rabbanan hi berek shvuus hadayanim, but even though it's a machlokas between Remeir and the Rabbanan about grapes that are about to be picked, Remeir says they're as if they're picked, Rabbanan say they're not as if they're picked. Here, it doesn't even take a stand on that issue. Parchach v'pshitas to kegazes dami. Here, it just assumes kegazes for, in this halacha, is considered kegazes dami. Again, if, for example, Hilchas Shabbos is considered lav kegazes dami. If you pick a date that's about to be picked off a tree, it doesn't really need the tree anymore. What, you're not going to be chayav for Shabbos? You're not going to be chayav for kotzer? Of course you are. Right, so for, in Linyan, that halacha is considered lav kegazes dami. So Tosfos here says maybe for this halacha, everybody will agree that it's considered kegazes dami. So again, you can't always ask kashas or quote the parallel machlokas from other sugyas because every halacha context might be different. Either way, the Gemara answered, don't bring me a raya from here that they could collect from metaltlin because it's not pure metaltlin. Okay, next story the Gemara brings related to this issue. Hu yasom yasoma. It was a boy and a girl, orphans. To also the Kami Rava, they came in front of Rava to know what to do. Amalahu Rava. Rava said, Ha alulu yasom b'shvil yasoma. When you give the yasom properties, the yasom gets Yerusha, so he gets everything. So give him for the yasoma also, meaning the yasoma maybe cannot get herself betaltalin. But once you're giving stuff for the yasom, you know, sneak it in with the yasom's property. Give him enough to feed his sister. Armile Rabbanan Rava v'hamarhu de'amar mi makarki v'lo mi metaltalin. Didn't you, Rava, held like only from karka, not from metaltalin? Bein l'mizone, bein l'ksuba, bein l'parnasa. Whether it's for mizonos, sustenance of the daughters, bein l'ksuba, whether it's to pay off the ksuba, bein l'parnasa, whether it's to help them get married. So don't you hold that, you know, you cannot, are not allowed to use metaltalin. So Amalahu, Rava says, Ilu ratza shifcha l'shamsha milo yavin alei. If this son would want a servant, wouldn't we pay for a servant to help service him? So here, at least make his sister happy, because it's not only somebody who can be mishamish him, but it's also a sister. So therefore, there's no reason not to be able to give metaltalin included into this Yerusha, so that he would be able to share it with his sister. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, finishing up our discussion again of karka versus metaltalin. Whether we're talking about karka umetaltalin, karka is called nechasim sheish lamachrayis. It has achrayis. It has security. Karka is always there. That's why it's called yesh lamachrayis. It can never go anywhere. Metaltalin, movable items, are called ein lamachrayis. They do not have security because they can get lost. Things can happen to them. They can burn up. So that's ein lamachrayis. Yesh lamachrayis is another way of saying karka. So echad nechatem yesh lamachrayis echad shein lamachrayis motzien lamazon isha ulabanos. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says we take from karka metaltalin for mazon isha, for feeding the wife, ulabanos, and for the daughters. So Rebbe argues on a number of shittos we had yesterday. Even from metaltalin we take from mazon habanos. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer no nechatem sheish lamachrayis nechatem that have achrayis, meaning karka, motziyim labanos min habanim, ulabanos min habanos, labanim min habanim. right? We take out metaltzelin for from banos min habanim, meaning if the banim, the sons got Yerusha, we take properties out from karka for to feed the daughters, right? Because that's a tanaik suba. Ula banos min habanos. Rashi explains, let's say the older daughters, you know, grabbed all the stuff. We make sure that the younger daughters, the katanas, get what they need. That's banos min habanos. Ula banim min habanim. The same thing Rashi says. Let's say the older sons took a lot of items. We make sure that the younger katanim sons have what they need. Ula banim min habanos. This is all talking about karka, remember? Ula banim min habanos bin achasam Reuben. Also, if there's a lot of possessions, so then we take it and give it to the sons for inheritance, and then the daughters will get mizonos. So we take it from the banos, who, let's say, grabbed it early, but if there's a lot of possessions, we want to fulfill the mitzvah d'arais of Yerusha. So we give it to the sons, and then we fulfill the din d'rabanan, the tanaik suba, of giving mizonos to the daughters. That's all what you do by karka. Aval, lo labanim and abanis benachasim muatim. We don't take out Yerusha for the sons if the daughters already have it by nachasim muatim. We had this a couple of days ago, and that is, there's not so much enough property to go around. So there's a takana derabana that were oker, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Yerusha, in favor of making sure the daughters have what to eat. So we're okay, though, so we don't take it for banim from the banos benachasim muatim. And again, we discussed then, what does nachasim muatim mean? How much is mu'atin? So Rashi here again quotes, enough that they can live properly until they become bogros. If they don't have enough and to live properly, to get enough sustenance until they become bogros, that's considered mu'atin, and therefore that's where the chacham were oker, the mitzvah of Yerusha, the din of Yerusha, in order to give mizonos to these girls. That's all what Rav Shimon ben Elazar says about karka. And what about metaltzelin? Nachasin she'en la'machrayis. What about metaltzelin? So then, we'll see in labanim and abanim, that we take out, again, from the older sons to make sure the younger sons have what they need. Ulabanos ben abanos, let's say they were only girls. So the girls, yarshin. So we take out from the younger girls, the older girls, to give to the older girls. Ulabanim and abanos. And by metaltzelin, we take out from the daughters for the sons, because we don't, right, because he's holding that we don't give mizonos to the banos from metaltzelin, from movable items. Avalo the banos ben abanim. But once the sons have it, we don't give it to the banos. So you see, Rav Shimon ben Elazar holds that only karka goes towards mizonos veto, but not by metaltzelin. And the Gemara ends off, even though we hold halacha is like Rebbe when he usually only has one person who's arguing with him, but here we have a mesora. That the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, that we only go from karka. Because Rava says hilchasa mimekarkoi v'lo mimetaltzeli, only from karka and not from metaltzelin. Bein l'ksuba, bein l'mizoni, bein l'parnasa. That's the maskana of the Gemara, that for ksuba, for the woman collecting your ksuba, for mizonos of the daughters, for parnasa, for marrying off the daughters who don't have a father, all of those are only collected from karka and not metaltzelin. Okay, Tosas already points out the end of Tosas mi makarkoi, the last four lines of Tosas mi makarkoi. V'nira de bismana zeh de kulu gavi mi metaltzeli ksuva mizonos bitakonis hagaonim. Tosas points out that was a takanas hagaonim already. That we don't rely on this Gemara. We go against the Gemara. We collect, use metaltzelin to collect everything. Uparnasa nami anan sadi shekol bnei adam regilu lahasi b'nosein mi metaltzeli. It's an anan sadi. Everybody knows that everybody has metaltzelin in mind. V'choshev kamo ba'amidzna. It's as if a person is very rich. That was the takanas hagaonim. And this is what's quoted by all the Rishonim. The Rush quotes it here. The Rambam quotes it here. I'll read you the Rambam in Ochas Ishus Perek Tazayin. Tiknu hagaonim b'chol yeshivas. All the Gaonim have made the takana. Shetia isha gova ksubasa achari mos baila afana metaltzelin. Right, you listen to the ksuba under the chuppah, and he says nachasim v'ishlo nachrayes, alasim nachrayes, whatever kadina. Right, they read the whole. It's all about metaltzelin also. So mizvana zed, since the takana is a Gaonim, even though from the Gemara it seems clear, the maskana is not from metaltzelin. The Gaonim already say, which the Rishonim quote, that we collect even from metaltzelin. Kederach she'eskin lebal chov likvos mina metaltzelin. Upashta takana zu barov Yisrael, says the Rambam that this is the takana for all Klal Yisrael. Mefarshim on the Rambam quote Rabbeinu Tam that maybe you didn't need the takana sagonim for ksuba, because for ksuba it was already switched bisman haGemara. But either way, That is the halacha. The halacha is that based on this takana sagonim, we go against what it says in the Gemara, and we collect from a metaltzelin for all of these items. Okay, next Mishnah. Continuing the discussion of Tanai Ksuba. Lo kasav laksuba. Let's say a man didn't write his wife a ksuba. Didn't write his wife a ksuba. Says the Gemara, Besula govim masayim v'manamana v'bnei shu tanai besef. It doesn't matter if he didn't write a ksuba or not. The woman is still entitled to her ksuba, right? 201 actually, because it's a tanai besef. There is an issur derabanan for a man to live with his wife without a ksuba. You don't have to have it with you, but you have to know where it is. A woman always has to know where her ksuba is. It could be 6,000 miles away, but she has to know where her ksuba is. If a husband and wife realize that they don't know where the ksuba is, that day they have to go to a rav. You don't have to go to the rav that was Masada Kedushin. You go to any rav to get a ksuba d'irchasa, a replacement ksuba for the one that was lost, and you have edim and it's signed, and that is the new ksuba. But again, one is not allowed to live together without a ksuba. They're fully married without a ksuba. Ksuba is not a marriage license. Ksuba are the obligations and the privileges of, or the obligations of the husband for the wife. But let's say there was no ksuba written, she still gets those obligations, because that's a tanai bezin. There's just an issur derabanan to live together. Yeah. The reason of this is Rabbanan, because, well, if you say Shlo Tekala Bein Avlo Hutsia, he should have it in front of him, that, you know, he should have a concretized picture that he wants to take this marriage seriously. If you hold Ksuba de Rabbanan. If we're going to impose it anyway, but still, that the nature was for him, when he writes it, then he commissions it to be written by the sofer, you know, that's more on his mind. You know, maybe this is a mucker, you know, some walk into dining rooms and see ksuba is written, in the picture frames, and they say, oh, what do you have the ksuba on the picture frame for? But in a way, it's not such a beautiful, these beautiful ksubas made up. So on the one hand, you could say, it's all about chas v'shalom, death or divorce, and, you know, so put it away, fold it up, and don't hang it up. But maybe on the other hand, like you're pointing out, maybe this is just a reflection of the commitment that the husband has for the wife. And it's a commitment of love that I commit to you no matter what in the future. So maybe that is a basis for people to have it hung up in the dining rooms. But you're right. But if we're going to inflict it anyway, you might say that you don't, that what's the reason for Tekala Bein Avlotzia? But still, Chazal assume that it is needed. Shlo Tekala Bein Avlotzia. Kasavla, that was halacha 1 in the Mishnah. Halacha 2. Kasavla, sadeh shavim manatachas basayim zuz. Let's say he writes a ksuba, but he designates a field that's worth 100 instead of 200. Volo kasavla kol nachasim de isli acharon luksubasech. He doesn't write all of my nachasim are going to be mishuba to you. He just writes this field. Chayiv shu tanai bezdin. So he's still chayiv to give everything because it's a tanai bezdin. Doesn't matter if you designated a field. Tosa says later on, adaf and above, let's say he designated a field that's worth 200. Then that's okay. If you designate a field that's worth 200, then that will be okay. You just can't designate something that is worth less than the 200. So what's the chiddush of saying I karka? That's even though it was only worth 100. So the Ritva quotes something that we discussed last year in one of the shiur. Says the Ritva, v'hakamash v'lan tiyafa gabde ba'alma ein ona'a l'karkaos. Even though we usually say there's a principle of ona, you're not allowed to overcharge or undercharge, right? In case of mekach u'memkar, but we usually say ein ona'a l'karkaos. Karka is mufka from those halachas of ona'a, of cheating someone. Why? Various reasons given. Maybe it's based on a pasuk, but is there a svara? Maybe karka doesn't really have a set value. It's worth as much as people would pay for it. But there's this halach of ein ona'a l'karkaos, and value does not really take on a specific amount by karkos. It says the Ritva, that's the chiddush. Even though we usually say ein ona'a l'karkaos, and therefore you can't designate a specific value for karka, and therefore if this man designates a karka that's worth 100, maybe we can say it's worth 200. After all, eino na le karkos. Now we say, hacha no. Eino nisham el bamana kishavyo. Here we say, go by what it's really worth. It's only worth 100. That's it. Uki ilu lo kasavla el amana dami. V'chayev lahashlam. That's the chiddush as the Ritva, that you don't say eino na le karkos in this case. So that is case number two. That if you didn't write a certain amount to the ksubas, then he still gets it. Next. Lo kasavla in tishtab'i afarkinech. If he didn't write, if you get captured, I will redeem you. Va'ozvinach leila intu, and I will return you to be my wife. Uba kohenes, or if we're talking about an eshes kohen, ahajvinach lemedinasech, eshes kohen who might have the issue that she was ne'enas, so therefore he still has the obligation to a redeemer, but we don't write, and I'll take you back to my wife, but he writes, I'll bring you back to your country. Even if he didn't write all that, chayiv shu tanai bezdin. Again, he's chayiv because it's tanai bezdin, even if he didn't write it. The Rambam has an interesting lashon here. The Rambam, when he quotes this halacha, in Yudalad Yudches, Perek Yudalad and Hilchas Ishas Halacha Yudches, quotes this idea that he must be metapel her, even if it's not written, and redeemer. Hayabail Yisrael Shashuya Muteris Lo, Machzira Lo Isha Kamosh Isa. Isha Yisrael, then he takes her back. Vimratza Acharkach, Migarsha Venosin Laksubasa. If he wants to then divorce her, then fine, give her the ksuba and divorce her. So what does this lashon mean? Vimratza Acharkach. Migarsha Venosin Laksubasa. So what is that coming to teach us? So the Chalkas Machokek in the Shulchan Aruch, where this language is quoted in Siman Ayin Ches, says, you know what this means? V'mratza achar kach. It means nira de kamash v'lon d'lotei mahol v'rotza l'garsha ein tzorach l'tapo ba rak shaleach l'haget v'ksuba l'makam shenishbeis. You might say that, yeah, he's a chiyuv to redeem her. So you know what he's going to do? He's going to send it. Here's your ksuba. Here's the money to redeem yourself. He's going to send it to the makom that where she's captured. No, says the Chazal B'chokes, he can't do that. Kamash v'lon d'tzorach l'chzira akon l'beis. You got to bring her back home. Bring her back home, and then you can divorce her. Bring her back home, then you can divorce her. To lo gara eishes Yisrael, me eishes kohen, the sorach lachzir l'medina also. Just like an eishes kohen, you're not going to live with it, still you have to bring her back to your medina, you can't just do it there. But the Chalkat V'chokek says, that's the chiddush of the Rambam. You can't just send her the items on the battlefield. The Yer Sameach says, no, it's much deeper than that. The Yer Sameach says, beautiful. What does the Rambam mean? The Rambam, if you medayik in the Lashon HaRambam, even the Lashon HaMishnah, what does the Mishnah say? Va'osvinach leila into, I'll bring you back for my wife. What is that adding? Says the Arsameach on that Rambam. The Chashishu Chachamim L'Takanas Banos Yisrael. Chazal were worried. Shema Yitzra Gavra Kabdana. Maybe you'll find the person who's very makpid. V'lo Yitzra Liosima Acharei Shenishbeis. I know maybe nothing happened. I know she's okay. I know who's Nanas. But I don't want to. She's Pugum to me. I don't want to have her again. V'nis Alubasha. You know what they must have done to her? V'yigarshena. V'suye. And then what happens if he divorces her right away? You know what? Nobody else is going to want to marry her. Oh, he divorced her right away. Oh, you know what must have happened? She must have been barasan. She must have not been faithful. Person wouldn't redeem her and then divorce her right away. So you know what Chachamim say? Chachamim say, you take her back. You know what part of the chiyav is? You have to live with her a little bit. You have to be knowing yish v'ishto a little bit. Then you can do whatever you want. Then you can be megarish her v'shilach to lanafsha. Because nobody's going to be mosi laz anymore if you lived with her first. And then you divorced her. Obviously, you just decided that you don't want to live with her anymore. That's the extra words of the Mishnah of Osvinach Leila into. According to the Chalkas Machokek, he says, what does that mean? I'll redeem you. No, after I'll redeem you as my wife. That's the Lashon HaRamba. Machzira lo le'isha kimosha haisa. Right? You have to return. That's the extra words of the Rambam. You have to take her back like she was. What do you mean like she was? You got to live with her a little bit. And then, v'imrasa achar lagarsha, migarsha. Right? Achar shechziru lo. So he says, that's the language in the Shulchan Aruch. And he says, yadati ki ze chadash, avol ze muchrach b'lashon Rabbeinu. I know it's a chiddush in the to say, but he thinks that is muchrach in the Lashon Rabbeinu. What else does it mean? Kamosha haisas. So that's the Chalkas Machokek and the Ar Sameach on this Rambam and on this Lashon of the Mishnah of Usvina Chleila into. There's a Lashon of the Ritva later on in Daf Nun Beis, which might argue with this. You let a divorce and then take her back. But there's a question of whether it might be a wrong girsa. On Daf Nun Beis and Beis, the Ritva says, Ela Megarsha Upode Imirtse. So the notes on the bottom says it should be the opposite. Pode umagarsha imyurtsa. The question whether the Ritva really would argue on this Rambam. But either way, we have this beautiful pshat of the Ar Sameach in the Lashon HaRambam. Okay, let's continue. Nishbeis, fourth to last skinny line. Nishbeis, let's say she gets captured. Chayav l'vdosa, right? You have to redeem her. V'imam ha'reza kita v'ksubasa v'tita z'atzma. What if he doesn't want to... it was written in the ksuba. The first line of the Mishnah was that even if it was written in the ksuba, you have to do it. Let's say it's written in the ksuba. Then he decides, after she's captured, you know what, here... he's going to send her her get, her ksuba, and she'll take care of herself. In a rashoi, he's not allowed to do that. He's not allowed to do that in a rashoi. Laksa chayav l'raposa. What if she gets sick? Chayav l'raposa. Then he is mechuyev to heal her, to pay for her doctor's bills. Why? Rashi says this is included in mizonos. Included in mizonos, just like you have to feed her, so too, you have a chayav refuah. That's Rashi. The Ritva adds on later on in Dafman Beis. It's not just refuah because they're mizonos, because there are limits. The Gemara talks about differences between refuah, sheyesh lo kitzva, ein lo kitzva. Separate from mizonos, there's a takana miyuchedes that he has to be merapeh her. Why do you use the lashon laksa? Why doesn't it say chalsa? You say chalsa, it's a more usual lashon. So the ra'ah says, why laksa? To teach you that if it was her own fault, he has no obligation. Luxa, she gets hit, smitten with a sickness. But let's say she goes out and plays in the snow without a coat, and she gets sick. So then in chayler post, it's only if Luxa, she got this, she got smitten with it. Amar, but what about in this case of Rafua? What about in this case? He says, you know what? I'm going to send her get an uksuba. She'll take care of herself. Rashoi. Then she's allowed to. So it's an obvious question that must be asked. Why is there a difference between a case of captured and a case of sick? In the case of captured, the man cannot say, here, take your get, take your ksuba, I'm out of here. While by the case of Rafua, he's allowed to say, I'm leaving, here's your stuff. And so what's the difference between the two? So the Ramah in the Shita Mekubetzes, the Yad Ramah in the Shita Mekubetzes says there's a big difference between Pirkuna and Rafuasa. At the moment that she's captured, he has a chiyuv to redeem her. And it's a chiyuv that falls at one moment. Because at that moment that she becomes captured, if he pays up, if he gives her the captors the money, she'll be free. At that moment, there's a one-time bas achas chiyuv, and he could take care of it. Therefore, he can't pater himself, because the chiyuv was totally chal on him when he was married. He's got to fulfill it. But he can't fix the refuah problem at one moment. The chiyuv is chal on him at one moment, and he'll pay the doctors, it's finished. The chiyuv, it's not finished. Shari ilunas on the rofe kifle kiflayim. Let's say you give the doctor $10 million. What is finished? Sharifu asa lohayel rofosa miyad. V'dim sash enem eschay b'chol rofos mevasachas. Refuah is a chiyuv mimushachas. It's an ongoing chiyuv. Today you have a chiyuv. Tomorrow you have a chiyuv. B'chol yom v'yom eschay bo dvar yom b'yomo. V'refuos oso yom kfar nasna. Let's say you have today's Monday. So you paid for Monday's chiyuv. V'refuos machar adayin lo neschayev ba. You're not chayiv in Monday's chiyuv yet. You know what this is like? Mizonos. What, a person's not allowed to divorce his wife, and then he won't be chayiv mizonos anymore? He's chayiv mizonos today, and from the day he divorces his wife, the next day he's not chayiv mizonos. So too with refuah. Refuah is a constant chiyuv, and therefore as long as you take care of today's, you're allowed to stop it and not take care of tomorrow's. So that's the difference, says the Yad Ramah, between mizonos and refuah. Refuah is a drawn out chiyuv, while mispidyon is a one time chiyuv. That's the Yad Ramah and the Shita Mekubetzes. Tosfos later on Daf Nun Beis Mabeis, the little Tosfos on top, he gives another answer. The Tosfos is supposed to be on our daf. It's just printed there. The top of Nun Beis Mabeis, Tosfos Amar, Tosfos has another pshat. You know why he's allowed to say refuah not? Refuah is included in mizonos. So throughout their marriage, he's given her mizonos. She's given him Maisi Adayim, he's given her Mizonos. So he's already paid up. You know, Mizonos Tachas Maisi Adayim. But what about the other one? Pidyon Tachas Peros. So he's gotten Peros, he's never done anything for her. Pidyon. So he can't get out of it, he's never done anything. So that's why, that's the difference between Pidyon versus Mizonos. Okay, so that's why he's allowed to say, Terape Es Atzma. The Rambam says, obviously, it's not Derech Eretz to do this. It's not minhag of Bnei Yisrael to, if somebody's wife is sick, you know, take care of yourself. But in Yikra Din, it's not included in the chiyuv. The Ravid does, though. The Ravid quoted here in the Rishonim says this only applies by a sickness where the woman can take care of herself. If a woman is mutala salamita and she cannot take care of herself, then obviously it's not. It can't be done, right? If it's mutala salamita, ain't a rashai. Good. Two more points, and then we'll continue. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. We might have mentioned this in the Meisr Ksafim Shirim, this Tshuva, but this is the other part that's not relevant to Meisr Ksafim. Evan Ezer Chela Gimel Simin Mem Gimel. Be'inyinim Kofin La'ish, She'na'ase Mitzad Chol Yo Ma'us U'musrach, Litengel La'ishto. A man develops some types of this illness that makes him smell and disgusting. So, and the woman wants a divorce after a long time, Zman Rav, that she was able to sustain this, but she can't do it anymore. Would we divorce the husband to divorce his wife in that case? He goes through the Makaros about Choli, right? What about, this is the opposite kind of case. The man is a Chola, and the woman wants out. So this has nothing to do with supporting him. So he discusses that, our Makaros as well in that Shuvah. Again, he says, Me'ikar Adin should try not to, but we have to understand what she's going through. Anyway, there's no Kfiya Bizman Hazed that really works, but that is a promotion of the Shuvah like that. One other final point, and that is the Achronim discuss Me'ikar Adin. It says that Refuah, you could just leave and she could be Misrapa herself. What about in the days that we live in today, post-Rabbeinu Gershon? Is this considered a Gershon Bal Karcha? is he allowed to do this? That is a machlokas between the Marshal and the Chelkas Machlokas. The Marshal holds, and because we live in the time of Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom, Enu yochal agarsha afim yichole v'yechayv l'refuas al olam. He has to constantly be marapa her, because he can't force her. And others, Chelkas Machlokas argues, the poskim don't mention this, but it is a machlokas achronim, whether Chaim Rabbeinu Gershom would apply here. Okay, back to the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Mani, who is our Mishnah? Our Mishnah, which says that even if he didn't write a ksuba, she's privileged to get 200. Rabbi Meir, seems to be Rabbi Meir. To Amar Meir, who says later on, Kalapokas the psulim imasayim almana mana harizah bilas nus. Rabbi Meir says anyone who gives psula less than 200 and almana less than 100, it's a bilas nus. She cannot be mocheles, right? Rabbi Yehuda Shita, which we're going to quote in a minute, is that she can be mocheles, but Rabbi Meir says she can't be mocheles. So therefore, says the Gemara, isn't our Mishnah, which says what she has to get 200. Isn't that like Rabbi Meir, who says, it sounds like there's no room for, no wiggle room, it sounds like there's no mechila possible here? So isn't like Rabbi Meir, dear Rabbi Huda, because if it's like Rabbi Huda, Ha'amar Rabbi Huda says, Ratza Kosiv L'Psula Shasha Masayim, a man could write to his wife 200, Vikosevitz Kavati Mimchamana, and she could say, I got 100. Ulamana Mana Vikosevitz Kavati Mimchamishim, so she could say, I got it, even though she didn't get. Meaning she can be mochel as part of her ksuba. Rabbi Yehuda says she can. Meir says she can. So doesn't our Mishnah, isn't our Mishnah, the ratio of our Mishnah, assuming that she cannot be mochelas? Rashi here has a chiddush against other Rishonim. Rashi here says, in the second Dibur Maschil, that according to Rabbi Meir, she cannot be mochelas even after the marriage. It's not just a din in the nisuin. Even while they're married, Rashi says, Eini yichol limcho bo de tachtov. Why? Because again, it's part of the Takana Drabanan that Shlote Kalabin of Lotzia, you need 200, 100. That's it. You can't be Mochelis. Other Rishonim say, no. What do you mean? If it's my Schus, I can be Mochel. Since when do we have a Schus that you can't be Mochel? So the Ritva and the other Rishonim say, no, of course you can be Mochel. Rashi seems to say, no, this isn't just a Schus for her. This is part of the commitment that the husband has to have me Drabanan, if Ksuba is Drabanan. And therefore, she can't be Mochel ever. So the Gemara says, isn't the Reisha like Rabbi Meir? The Gemara says, Ema Seifa, but the second part of the Mishnah seems like Rabbi Yehuda, because we have another Machlokas Rabbi Yehuda. Kasev Lasad, Ksuv, Shavamana, Masayim, Tachas, Masayim, Zuz. Lokasev Lakana, Chazan, Dislan, Achrayim, Ksubase. If he writes to the Ksuba, but does not say everything in my possession is lean to the Ksuba, Chayev, Shutz, and Ibezin. So if you left out Achrayis, you left out that everything belonging to you is Meshubit to this Ksuba, it's as if you wrote it. Because that's a Tanai Bezdin. So that part of the Mishnah, Asal Rabbi Yehuda, that seems to going like Rabbi Yehuda, who says in a totally different context, Da'amar Achrayis Ta'asoferhu, by a regular shtar, Reuven lent Shimon $100. So if it's a Milveh Bishtar, we usually say that a Milveh Shtar in it is recorded, and all of the Lovis possessions is a lien to the creditor. And therefore, if he doesn't have enough to collect, he could go to those possessions. Is that automatic? If it's not written, let's say it wasn't written in a shtar, that all my possessions are meshubit to you. So that's a machlokes. Do we say automatically they are meshubit? Rabbi Yehuda says, achrayis. If achrayis are left out by mistake, ta'us soferhu. That's a mistake of the sofer, and it's as if it's written in there. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Meir says, no, it's not automatic. It's like it's written, you have a milveh bishtar, but it doesn't have teeth. So Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says, achrayis ta'us soferhu. Dear Rabbi Meir, so therefore our Mishnah seems to be part like Rabbi Meir, part like Rabbi Yehuda. The first part of our Mishnah, which says that you need 200 and you can't be mocheles, that seems to be like Rabbi Meir. The second part of the Mishnah, which says, even if you didn't write all the achrayis are meshubid, it's as if they are meshubid, that seems to be like Rabbi Yehuda. De'i Rabbi Meir, because if you want to say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir, Ha'amar Achrayis lach to'o sofer. Who? Rabbi Meir says Achrayis is not to'o sofer. Just because you didn't write Achrayis in the shtar does not mean automatically you get Achrayis. Ditzan, as the Mishnah says it in Moed Baba Kama. Matzah shtar chov. Let's see you find the shtar chov on the Manabim Baba Kama. Matzah shtar chov. Let's see you find the shtar chov. I'm sorry? It's Baba Metzia, right? It says Baba Kama on the side, but it says V'sham near it. It's Baba Metzia. It confused me. Matzah shtar chov. Let's say you find a shtar on the street that says Reuven O Shimon, money. Are you allowed to return it? Do you return it to the creditor? Im yesh bohem achrayis nechasim. If there is achrayis nechasim written in it, lo yachzir. If it has achrayis written in it, that all the possessions are meshubit, you're not allowed to return it. Why? Because Rashi says we're worried that this was paid up already, and now the two people involved are having a kanunya. They're having a deal. You know what? I paid you up, but you know what? Bring it to me again. I don't have enough money, and we'll get the stuff that I sold already from the other guy, from the lokeach. So we're worried that they're going to go collect it again improperly. So therefore, if it has a chrayis on it, you're not allowed to collect and return it. She bezdin it from me, because bez is going to use it to collect from.
Ain ban machrayes nachasid. If there is no achrayes written in there, yachzir. Then you're allowed to return it. She'ein bezin nefarim ahim, because bezin is not going to automatically go to the fields that were sold. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that achrayes is not automatic. The chachamim omrim, and the chachamim Rashi says there's always Rabbi Yehuda when it's against Rabbi Meir. And you're never allowed to return it because Bezin will always go collect from the Lakuchos. So you see, Rabbi Yehuda is the opinion that says Achrayis is still a sofer. So Reish Rabbi Meir, Vesefer Rabbi Yehuda. Shall we assume that Rabbi Meir and at the beginning of our mission is Rabbi Meir and the Sefer is Rabbi Yehuda? No, that's difficult. And if you want to say, oh no, maybe it's all Rabbi Meir's opinion. But you know what? Maybe Rabbi Meir agrees by Ksuba. Maybe Rabbi Meir would say that by Ksuba there's automatic achrayis. That whole context in the Mishnah from Bava Metzia, that's only by Dini Mamanus. Maybe by Ksuba he would admit. The shiny Rabbi Meir, by Ksuba the story. Maybe part of the Takana Darabanan of Ksuba, if it's Darabanan, was that there's automatic achrayis. And then that would answer our Mishnah. Because again, the ratio of our Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. The Sefer of our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. But maybe Rabbi Meir agrees that there's achrayis automatic by Ksuba. That would help. So Gemara says, no, Umi Shani Lai. Does he ever make a difference? Hatanya, we have a brisa that says otherwise. Chamisha gobim min amachurarin. Five things are only collected from possessions that a person has. Mechurarin. Not from possessions that were sold by him. Right? Not from Mishubadim, only from Mechurarin. Eluhain, what are the five items that are only collected from for property that the person has? And as we'll see why, Rashi explains, you know why you don't go for Mishubatim here? Because these five don't, at least the first few, do not have a limit. They don't have a finite amount. So we don't want to give the person, the collector, such leeway that he could go and collect from Mishubatim because there's no limit. What are these cases? Peros v'shevach peros. What does that mean? Rashi explains. Let's say Reuven stole a field. Reuven stole a field and sold it to Shimon. And Shimon plants on the field. Shimon makes the fields wonderful, and he invests in the field. Now the field is doing amazingly. And then the nigzal, the victim, comes and says, I want my field back. So what do? We give him his field back. So now the Shimon, who worked so hard on the field, goes back to the ganav and says, I want my money back. What do you? I didn't know this was stolen. Right? That itself is asur, right? Holy my ganav. But I don't know, so I want my money back. So he not only wants his money that he paid for the field, he wants all the expenses. He wants the peiros, the stuff that grew, the shevach peiros, the extras. He wants everything. So how much can he collect from this ganav? So only from the stuff the ganav has. Because really, how much, there's no limit on how much he can say he put in $5 million. How much are the expenses that he put into this field? And how much grew? How much has he eaten already? That's why Chazal say only collect from the free properties, the stuff that the ganav has. Also, let's say somebody accepts to feed his stepchildren. Again, there's no limit to that mizono. So again, you only collect from his free property, from his b'nei chorin. The get chov she'ein b'achrayis. Get just means shtar. A shtar chov that does not have achrayis written in it. V'ksubas isha she'ein b'achrayis. An ksuba. An ksuba that does not have achrayis in it. So who is the author of this b'raisa? Man shamis le'dam achrayis lapto sofer. Who's the author? Right, part of this brisa says that achrayis is not automatic. Rabbi Meir, it must be Rabbi Meir, but tani ksubas isha. And it says ksuba here. So you see, Rabbi Meir does not make any distinctions between ksuba and other documents. Question, so we're back to the question. What question are we back to? Who's the author of our Mishnah? The first part of our Mishnah seems like shitas Rabbi Meir. That is automatic 200, you can't be mochelas. And the second part of our Mishnah seems to be Rabbi Yehuda, that automatic achrayis. So the Gemara says, Ibai same Rabbi Meir, Ibai same Rabbi Yehuda. Either way, I'll give you an answer. Iba, you say Rabbi Yehuda. Maybe our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Hasam kasvalei iskabalti. Achalo kasvalei iskabalti. It's like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is a case where she wasn't mochelas. In a chinami, she could be mochelas if she would have been, but she was not mochelas. So if she wasn't mochelas, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees, it has to be 200. That's one way to read the Mishnah. Or Iba, you say Rabbi Meir. Maybe our Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. My chayiv diktani mina mechurarin. What does it mean in the Seifa that even if it's not written, he's chayiv to give 200, that's only from B'nai Chorin, not from Mishubadim, meaning there's no achrayis. There's no achrayis automatic in our Mishnah. So those are two ways to read the Mishnah, either according to Rabbi Yehuda or according to Rabbi Meir. Look at one of the achrot, yeah. Oh, so it's right. So the Gemara, that's the language. If you look at the language, right, it's not the language of the Gemara, but yeah, it sounds that way. That mechila, that's a question, how does mechila work? Is it a siluk or is it a ki'ilu hiskabalti? It sounds that way, ki'ilu hiskabalti. That might be the machlokas between Rashi and the other opinions too. Could he be mocheles during the marriage? you know, Rashi might say, no, it's a sea look, and therefore you can't. If you use it, if you got it, then you can.
The Maloha Roim, one of the Achronim in the back, he wonders, as a kasha on our Gemara. Our Gemara brings in that Achrayis Tos Sofer is relevant to our case of Ksuba.
Achrayis Tos Sofer, usually, what's the svara for Achrayis Tos Sofer? If you look at those Gemaras there, the svara is, a person wouldn't throw his money away.
Lo shadi inish zuzi bechdei. A person wouldn't throw his money away. So if he lent money and he wrote it down in the shtar, he obviously wants to be able to collect from Mishubandim.
So what does it have to do with here? Here, the woman didn't give anything. So how does the whole svara of Achrayis Tos Sofer apply to Ksuba?
That's the Maloha Roim's kasha. How does it apply? The whole svara is that a person doesn't throw his money away, and here the woman didn't give any money. So how could you apply it?
So the Maloha Roim suggests she was makna something.
Right?
A woman is makna herself in marriage. It's not a kinyan mamon, but she does give her commitment to the husband. That's enough for achrayis tos sofer. That could take the place of lo shadi idin zuzi bechdei.
A woman doesn't get married for nothing.
And therefore, that's how you could look at it in this case. And it relates to how much is she makna herself. Can you remember that there's a Ran in the Darim, I think on Daf Lamed, which we mentioned in the past, that she's really not so makna, she's really mafkir herself, and the husband does all the kinyan. Either way, that's the language of the Malo Haroim here, trying to figure out why Achrayis Tos Sofer is relevant to here. Okay, two dots. Lo ka savla. So the Mishnah had said, if he doesn't write, I'm going to redeem you, even if you get captured, he still has to do it. Amar Avu Adashmuel. Avu Adashmuel has a chiddush. Eishes Yisrael shenansa asur labai la. In Eishes Yisrael that's raped, we don't pask in this way, she is asur to her husband. Why? Chayshina shem atchilasa ba'onis v'sova baratzon. We're worried that maybe, even though the act started off as a rape, she ended up being baratzon, and therefore she is asur to her husband. Tosfos here says that this is an Isser d'oraisa, according to Avu Adashmuel. Last Tosfos. Mashalei d'mi d'oraisa kamar. Even though it says chayshinan, it's mashalei d'oraisa. Other Rishonim, the Ritva, say it's d'rabbanan. But that is the chiddush of the Avu Adashmuel. Let's finish for a moment, then we'll talk about it. Eisvei Rav Avu Adashmuel, Rabbi Asakasha, he says in our Mishnah, in tishtaviyah farkineh posvinach lila intu. We emphasized this before. What does it say? If you're captured, I'll redeem you and take you back for a wife. Obviously, taking it back for a wife, and she's not usher. Ishtik, Avu Adashmuel did not have an answer. Kari Rav Ali Avu Adashmuel, Rav said about Avu Adashmuel, Sara Matsu Bamilim, Bakafi Asimil Piyam. Man puts his mouth on his, puts his hand on his mouth because he doesn't want to say anything. Which is Mashua that he had something to say, and he didn't say it. Ma'is Leilamemer, how could he have answered? So, Beshvuya Hikilu, could have answered, no. Shvuya, by Shvuya, there is a kula in this case. That's what the answer could have been. But either way, generally there's a chash of right, but not by a regular rape. Maybe by shvuya we could be makel. But there's a pasuk that says that an eishes yisrael shenensa is mutaras labayla. So what is that case according to Avu Adashmuel? Kegon to kamri edim shetzavcha mitzchila vatzof. There were edim that she screamed from start to finish. So then, that's a raya, that's an anansadi, that she was ba'onis the whole time, and therefore, in that case, she's mutaris labayla. The Pnei Yeshua wonders here, doesn't she have a cheskes heter? So you're not sure. Doesn't she have a cheskes heter, a cheskes kashrus? So I don't understand why Avu Adashmuel says this. So the Pnei Yeshua says, it must be that he thinks, stama de milsa, de rov haniv alos ba'ones sofam baratzon. It must be that there's a rov, we're going to get to a line like that in the Gemara in a minute. He must think that there's a rov. The kiva de yetzer albasha, as we'll get to in a second, umishani me'avera. It must be just natural circumstances that it turns into a ma'isa baratzon. It must be a rov, because why else would that beat out a cheskas kashrus? The hafla even adds on to this. Even if you want to say it's a ma'isa, like you might say, but what'd she do wrong here? It says the hafla, maybe she didn't do anything wrong. Because let's say she couldn't help herself, as we'll see, to end up baratzon. But what's the machayev for Yisur Labayla? What's the machayev for Yisur Labayla? We mentioned in the past the tshuva of the Maharik, quoted in the Evan, according to Shulchan Aruch. It's the ma'isa merit against her husband. Right, the Maharik talks about, what about an Omer Mutter? A woman thinks, I didn't know I wasn't allowed to be Mazana. Right, let's say she thinks. She thinks, well, Judaism believes in open marriages. Right, I didn't know I only needed one husband. So what's the halacha? The halacha is she's still Asur Labayla. Even if she didn't know she was doing an Aveira. Omer Mutter, why? Because the Mechayev of Asur Labayla is the act of rebellion against her husband. So this is also, even if she didn't do anything wrong, the second that it turns into Ratzon, says the Hafla, it turns into a Maisa Merit against her husband. So that is the Shita of Avuah de Shmuel, that by every case you have to be worried that it started off Ba'ones and Sofa Baratzon. Asks Tosfos, what about Esther Amalka? Asks Tosfos, Asur Labayla, what about Esther Amalka? How could she go back to Mordechai? Right? Less of Ba'ones, maybe according to Avuah de Shmuel, she'd be Sofa Baratzon. Now she was a Tzadekes. Can't ask any kashas. Tzadekes Gemura, she was a Tzadekes, and therefore you cannot ask any kashas on Esther. Okay? Upliga the Rava, says the Gemara in the second line, this argument, Avuah de Shmuel argues on Rava. The Amar Rava, Rava says, Kol she tchilasa ba'onis v'sofa ratzon, as long as the beginning was ba'onis, even if the end was baratzon, afilu hi omerislo, even if she says, she omali nizkakla hi socharto, even if the middle of the act, somebody would ask her, and she would say, you know what, it's so enjoyable that I would hire him out if he wouldn't have started this with me. Meaning she's so baratzon, muteris. Sum muteris labayla, there's no iser. Why? My taima. Yetzer al-Basha. Halacha assumes that once someone is involved in the act, then the taiva and the Yetzer Hara overtakes and they can't stop. And it's understandable. That's not really Ratzon. It's Mugdar based on the beginning of the act, and once it was Tchilas Ba'ones, so then we say the Sof being Baratzon does not have any halachic ramifications. Okay, let's just try to finish. There's more to talk about here, but first let's try to finish, and then if there's time, we'll come back. Where they talk about other halachas, which starts off ba'ones and baratzon. Rama talks about, let's say somebody forces you to eat something, ba'ones. Does it require a bracha? Because you're going to enjoy it later on, so does it require a bracha? So they talk about tchilas ba'ones and sofa baratzon. Well, again, let's try to finish first. Tanya kavasi de Rava, let's prove like Rava. The hilon is pasa asura, the pasuk says. If she was not grabbed, she is usher to her husband. Han is pasa muteres. But if she was grabbed, meaning it was ba'onesh, she's mutzer to her husband. We have another case that even though she was not grabbed, she's mutzer. This case is learned out from the drasha, mutzer labayla. Tanya idach, another brisa, we're going to have a couple of drashas based on this pasuk. There's a case only if a woman is not grabbed. I mean, she does it willingly, she's asura. But if she's grabbed, she's ba'one, she's muteres. And there's another woman that even though she is grabbed, it's nanas, she's asur. Eishes Kohen, we know tragically, she's nanas, she's asura labayla. Again, the chiluk grabbed versus not grabbed, ones versus ratzon. The yishlacher says another woman, another woman who acts willingly, and she's still mutter. The ezuzu zusha kidushet kidushet tos. Let's say a woman's married and then she's mizaneh, and then it comes out that the first marriage, the marriage was nothing. There was a tnai in the marriage, and the tnai was never fulfilled. So then we say shafilu bana murkav aksefa mima enes v'olechas la. So she could always go back to the first man. Because she was never married to the first man. She wasn't mizaneh as an ashes ish. So therefore, she can even go back to the first man. And even if she had kids with the first man, she could still go back. Those children are not mamzerim. Amar Yehuda. Hani nashi de ganvu ganvi, shayin leguvrayu. These women that were taken by ganavim are mutter to their husbands. Amar lei rabbanan Rav Yehuda. V'haka mam tiyan luhunama. You see the women bringing bread to their captors. So you see they're like kind of like baratzon to them. They're doing it because they're scared for their life. Don't say that. It's not like because they're becoming rutzone to them. Either they even help them, you know, load their guns. Right? They give them arrows, you know, at the battlefield. Because they're scared. That's not because of rutzone. You're right. If they are set free and then they willingly stay with their captors, so then asir, then they're going to be usher. But otherwise, you could assume that they're still muteris labayla. Tan Rabbanan, Shvuyei Malchus Harayin Kishvuyin. Shvuyei Malchus, captors of the Malchus are like Shvuyin, and you could consider them, you know, Mutzer. Genuvim Listos Einin Kishvuyin. But Genuvim, people who were taken by just Listim, by Stam bandits, are not Kishvuyin. Meaning, you assume they might have done something willingly. But Tanya Ifko, we have a bright that is the opposite. So Malchus and Malchus, we have a Kasha about Shvuyei Malchus. Kasha about Shvuyei Listim. So Malchus and Malchus lo Kasha. It depends what type of Malchus these women were taken by. Haba Malchus Achashverosh, Haba Malchus Ben Netzer. Let's go with Rashi's pshat. Malchus we shown him, Rashi. Rashi says, by Malchus Achashverosh will you have a king who is so high, and the woman has no Hava Mina that she's ever going to be able to marry this man. So she's not barasa. She doesn't try anything. She knows it's out of her league. So she'll always stay ba'ones. Therefore, it's mutter. But by ben netzar, who's a lowly type of king, so therefore, a woman might be baratzon because she might think that she'll be able to be this guy's wife. And therefore, she'll be baratzon. Listus lokasha, the opposite. Haba ben netzar, haba listen to alma. By ben netzar, we assume that he's somewhat chashuv and she'd want to be his wife. And therefore, she'd act baratzon. Haba listen to alma, stam a bandit. He's somebody who's the dregs of society. And therefore, she'll always stay baones. Haba ben netzar, hasam kari le melech, vacha kari le listim. I know that ben netzar is in both answers. So he's called a melech here and he's called a bandit here. Where it says, yeah, in, yes. Gabi Achashverosh listimu. If you put him in, it depends who he's compared to. Regarding Achashverosh, he's a bandit because Achashverosh is a big king. Gabi listim, the alma melechu. But compared to some other bandits, he is a melech because he is a chashiv type of bandit. Okay, we'll have to stop here. And again, remember, other Rishonim bring in this issue of Tchilas HaBa'onis, Tchilas HaBa'onis, Tchilas HaBaratzon, by eating on Yom Kippur, by making a bracha. There are other cases where this comes up. Okay, stop here.